What do you think of when I say the names Big Daddy and Giant Haystacks? I wonder if those names mean anything to you. If they do, you're showing your age. ITV Wrestling, Sunday Lunchtimes, Saturday Lunchtimes in the 1980s, over 30 years ago. Massive fat men in leotards bouncing off each other, grappling with each other. It was an absolute riot, and that was how we were entertained in the old days. Nowadays, if you like wrestling, you have to make do with the American variety. However, having put ITV Wrestling into your mind, you'll have to try and forget it now, because although our passage is about a wrestling match, it's not at all like that staged buffoonery. It is a long, hard physical and spiritual battle. It's about Jacob wrestling with God and about us wrestling with God too. We might not be into wrestling, but most of us do admire a fighter, a contender, someone who will keep striving until they get what they're after. And all through this sermon series on the life of Jacob, we've seen that Jacob is a fighter. He perseveres to get what he wants. But now in Genesis 32, near the end of the Jacob story, he has the most important fight of his life. The episode actually begins with Jacob trembling. He's trembling as he thinks of what the future holds. Perhaps the future makes you tremble like Jacob. I'm sure it does sometimes, even if it's just because the future is so uncertain. Jacob is trembling because of his brother Esau. 20 years earlier, he ran away from Esau, having cheated him out of his father's blessing. Esau was furious. He threatened to kill Jacob, so Jacob quickly had to leave the promised land. And if you remember, as he was leaving, he had that marvelous dream, the vision of the staircase with the angels going up and down on it, and the voice of God. He had that astonishing encounter with the Lord, who said to him, "I will be with you. Whatever you go through, I will be there for you, and I will bring you back to this land." But that was the last Jacob had heard from the Lord, his promise to be with him, until after 20 years of radio silence, God tells him to return to Canaan. And as he's coming back into the land, Jacob has a past which he must now confront, Esau, and he's trembling. Jacob hears that Esau has 400 men coming his way. Is he coming for a party or for a fight? Certainly Jacob thinks it's for a fight. He must be wondering, why did I ever leave my uncle Laban's farm? Okay, he could have treated me better, but I've jumped out of the frying pan and into the fire. And so the schemer in Jacob resurfaces. He plots and schemes to find a way out of this quandary. He splits his camp. He sends half his caravan train on ahead. Jacob is a wealthy man now, so he sends presents on ahead to his brother. He wants to pacify Esau with his gifts. Jacob wants to buy Esau off. He's scheming again, but he is still trembling. I wonder how you cope when you're facing up to some threat or other. What happens when you tremble about the future? Different people act differently, but it may be that the Lord is right there in the middle of that moment of trembling. Perhaps he's using it to draw you closer to him. Whatever the threat might be out there, whatever it is that makes you tremble, the Lord might be preparing you to meet with him. Perhaps for the first time, or perhaps because he's been working in your life for a long time, as he was with Jacob. But he's using a moment of alarm to call you to himself. And that is what's happening to Jacob. His fear and trembling is slowly making him change. So, for example, for the first time, he's able to properly pray to the Lord. The old Jacob, when leaving the land, would never have prayed, but this is a changed Jacob. And so in verse 11 of this chapter, he prays, "Please deliver me from the hand of my brother, for I fear him." In other words, "Save me, Lord, rescue me by your grace." Jacob could hardly have anticipated how the Lord would answer that prayer. And you might be surprised when you turn to him in your moment of trembling. Jacob is expecting a fight with his brother, but what he gets is a tussle with the Lord. Just as he met the Lord on the way out of the promised land, so now he meets him on the way back in, at the edge of the Jabbok River. The Jabbok is the boundary, the border of the land, and Jacob stops there by night. He's left alone, no family, no possessions. They've all been sent on ahead. Remember, when he left the land, he was also alone. And now, in the dark, without any help nearby, a stranger arrives. It's not obvious who this man is. Perhaps Jacob wonders, is he a robber? Is he an assassin even, sent from Esau? Is he Esau himself? No, but he is a man looking for a fight. Look at verse 24 with me, please. Verse 24 of our reading. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Who started it? Isn't that the question a teacher asks when he stops a fight in the playground? Who started it? Well, it was the Lord who started this fight, this wrestling match. That's who this mysterious stranger is. Some people believe it was a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus, thousands of years before his birth. We can't be sure, but it is certainly God in human form. Who won? That's the question other boys in the playground want answered. When I was at school, and it was an all-boys school, the teacher wanted to know who started it, but the boys wanted to know who won. Who wins here? Well, the wrestle goes on all night, all night. And a pretty even match it is. We know that Jacob is strong. If you remember, he easily tore the stone lid off the well in the story last week. In human terms, Jacob is a match for anyone. And that's what happens here. The God-man does not prevail against Jacob, verse 25. So it looks as though Jacob wins. Until the God-man touches his hip, also verse 25. A wrestling move which puts Jacob's hip right out of joint. The Hebrew means a very light touch. So it's a very unusual wrestling move, this, the touch. I don't remember Big Daddy ever doing the touch. It's so light and yet so powerful. You get the impression that this God man could easily win if he wants to. He has mighty supernatural power at his disposal. One light touch from his finger could beat his opponent. And so Jacob realizes this person is more than a man. He is someone divine, someone from whom he could get a blessing. Verse 26. Do you ever feel as though you're wrestling with God, looking for his blessing? Often this passage is taken to be about our prayer lives, and I'm sure there's something in that. Which one of us hasn't cried out to God in prayer and wrestled with him because he seems to say no to some of our prayers? But also, it's possible that your whole life has been a wrestle with God. Just think about it. You're sometimes searching for God, sometimes running away from him, like Jacob. This wrestle could be a snapshot of his whole life. At times he was listening to God, like his staircase dream. At other times he was ignoring God, like when he was deceiving his father. His whole life has been a wrestling match, until God meets him personally at the Jabbok River. And perhaps God is coming to meet with you. Perhaps your wrestle with him is coming to an end as you meet with him. That is when it ends, alone, in prayer, personally, you and him. When you come to him or he comes to you, when you allow your life to be touched by him, he leaves his mark on you. When you start afresh with Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. Perhaps now is that moment to meet with him before you cross your river and start a new life, facing your problems with Jesus at the center of it. Jacob's fight is not yet over. He's been injured, but he clings on and refuses to give in. If someone dislocated your hip with a touch, would you not give in? Would you not want to get away from them? Not Jacob. Look at verse 26. Verse 26. Then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. The man asked him, what is your name? Jacob, he answered. And the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. Jacob said, please tell me your name. But he replied, why do you ask my name? And then he blessed him there. Name changes are always very significant in the Bible. The name Jacob means deceiver or grasper. But now God has changed his name to Israel, which means striver or the struggler. Jacob is the one who strives and struggles and clings on to God. He's got tenacity. He keeps at it. He keeps wrestling. I want your blessing, shouts Jacob, and I won't give in until I get it. I want your blessing. That could be the motto of Jacob's life. He's desperate for God's blessing. All his life he's been searching for it, whether it was when he tricked Esau out of his birthright or tricked his blind father to get the inheritance. Jacob was always looking for the blessing. That's what I mean when I say that this wrestle sums up his whole life. And often we do have to persevere with the Lord. There's so many distractions that would keep us from him, not least our own sinfulness. Cheating, deceiving, sinful Jacob was keeping himself from God. His own sinful nature was fighting against his longing for the blessing. But at the same time, through all of that, God was relentlessly pursuing Jacob. And Jacob never totally gave up on God. He clung on. And then through this personal encounter, he finally receives his longed-for blessing. Are you prepared to cling on until you get God's blessing? I'm talking primarily about that most wonderful, marvelous blessing of salvation. Are you prepared to look back in your life and see the ups and downs and God bringing you through them? You've clung on. You've persevered right to the end. You fought the good fight. You finished the race. And now there awaits for you a glorious crown in heaven. Come back to the question of who won this wrestling contest. Certainly it looks as though Jacob wins. We're told that he has striven with God, verse 28, and prevailed. And he's clung on until he is blessed. He's got what he wants out of this wrestle. Jacob has won. God has admitted defeat. And yet through apparent defeat, God always wins his victory. Let me say that again. Apparent defeat is the way God always wins his victory. Just think of the cross, the center of God's plan of salvation. As you look at the cross, you see a suffering, defeated man in all his weakness, a God-man struggling to survive. On the surface, the cross of Christ appears to be an obvious defeat. The Romans had crucified him. The Jewish leaders, they won, apparently. And if Jesus is God, then God has been defeated, not just wrestled to the ground, but killed and buried. The cross is the ultimate defeat for God. And yet it is only an apparent defeat, because it is where we find God's ultimate blessing. The apparent defeat of the cross brings God's blessing of salvation. Because if you come to the crucified Lord Jesus Christ, personally, alone, clinging on, just you and him, you will find the blessing that you've always longed for, a saving knowledge of God. And while he appears defeated, actually, he will have won you into his kingdom. There's one final thing to notice in this wrestling contest. Jacob has wrestled with God. He's clung on until he is blessed. He has even, we could say, won, because he's got what he wanted. But it is a crippling victory. He goes away from this encounter limping. So verse 30, near the end of our reading, verse 30. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore to this day the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. Jacob continues his journey into the promised land, blessed by God, yes, but limping because of his hip. He's encountered God, and he crosses the river to a new start, broken, with his strength somewhat taken away. It's as if he's now wearing a badge. There's a visible mark on him. The limp is his badge of faith, a permanent reminder that God has broken him physically and blessed him spiritually. When we enter the true promised land, the heavenly land, having been converted, as I believe the story of Jacob is a picture of, it's only limping and broken. None of us will stride into heaven full of pride, saying, look at me, look at what I have done. No way. And this is what becoming a Christian is all about. Allowing the Lord to work in our lives in such a way that he breaks us. He breaks our dependence on ourselves. Christian conversion humbles us because we realize we need him. God leaves his mark on us. And we continue as a Christian in the same way. That mark of conversion, that encounter with God, never leaves us. In humility, we carry on, limping through life sometimes, but always trusting in God, trusting in him for salvation, and trusting in him to get us through all our struggles. It's the struggle with God, the wrestle, that allows us to deal with all our other human struggles. And then we're not told in our reading, but in the very next chapter, Jacob meets Esau. He sets off from Peniel, crosses the Jabbok. He protects his family by putting them at the back of his caravan train, and Jacob goes first to meet Esau head to head. Remember, he had been trembling. Now he has confidence. You see, when you've met with God, then you're ready to meet any adversity, any hardship, any danger. What a change there's been in Jacob. He's fundamentally a changed man. And when he meets Esau, there is reconciliation. They embrace and kiss and weep. Jacob humbles himself before Esau. He calls him his Lord. He presents him with gifts. I don't think this is out of fear anymore. It's out of love and respect. Two brothers together after 20 years apart. You see, the cheat has been changed. Jacob has become Israel. He's been transformed. He's come home transformed, radically altered for the better by God. So this is what happens when God touches you, when you wrestle with him, perhaps for a long time, when you cling on to him. This is what happens when you receive his blessing. As you come in repentance and faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, you become a changed person, a changed man, a changed woman, developing the characteristics of Jesus. His mark is on you. Let us pray.